بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The ruling on organ donation and medicines and using them during fasting. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalam ala Sayyid al-Mursaleen wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allahumma Rabbana allimna ma yanfa'una wa anfa'na bima 'allamtana wa zidna ilman wa hikma wa huda. Allahumma nas'aluka imanan da'ima والهدى والتقى. اللهم صل على نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكيها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. أما بعد, وصلى الله على محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We ask Allah Ta'ala to make this short talk beneficial for all of us. And the issue that inshallah we'll be discussing is about the organ donation. Organ donation, it refers to taking an organ either from a living person or from a dead person and transplanting it to another living person. And the ruling on this issue, it is actually a very complex issue, not something that is very simple. There's many facets to the issue, and there is also more than one perspective or more than one view amongst the mujtahideen or the fuqaha, because this is an issue that was not present in the books of the past. We cannot open up a book by Abu Hanifa or Shafi or Malik and find a ruling on the issue of organ donation, because it's something that's rather new in terms of the field of fiqh and the research on it. So there is still research being done on the issue, but we'll try to summarize briefly inshallah what the scholars have said. First of all, the ulama, they say that if there is an organ that has already been removed from a living person, that this organ has already been removed for some reason, say a cornea was taken out from a living person, then that cornea is either going to be thrown away or it could be used to help another living person. So in this issue, the scholars agree that it's allowed to use that organ in another living person. There's no harm in that. And it doesn't matter if that cornea was taken from a Muslim or a non-Muslim, because that would be just, that organ would be wasted if it was not put into another living person. So this is allowed. Also, the ulama say it's allowed to use the organ of an animal in a human being. This is also something that is generally agreed upon. There's no harm in taking the organ from an animal if it's beneficial and can help a human being, a skin graft or anything else like that. This could be used for a human being, and there's also agreement on that. The scholars also agree generally that a person can take an organ or part of an organ from his own body and transplant it to another part of his body. So for example, if somebody had a burn in a sensitive area of the body, they could take some skin from the back in another area and transfer it within the body itself, and this is also something that is permissible. The issues that the scholars debated, however, is what is the ruling on organ transplanting from a person who is dead to a living person? Somebody died, is it allowed to take his organs out and transplant them to a living person to help that living person? And the scholars are divided on this issue. There's two views on the issue. First, one view is the prohibition, that it's not allowed at all to transplant an organ from a dead person to a living person. And the proof for that is the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, amongst the many hadith, that breaking the bone of a dead person is like both breaking it when it's alive, and that the dead body has a sanctity, and by taking those organs out, it's violating the sanctity of that dead person. And so that, you know, cutting the body open and removing the liver or removing the heart this would be causing harm to the dead body and a violation of the sanctity. This view, which is held mainly by the Hanafi scholars, they also uses evidence the prohibition of a woman extending her hair with the hair of another woman. The Prophet ﷺ, he clearly forbade women from taking hair from one person, from another woman, and adding it to her own hair. And some of the ulama, they said that was based on the idea that the hair would be impure, because cutting something from a living person would be impure. But the correct view of, in this particular evidence is that hair is not impure, because hair is something that is dead already. It doesn't have life growing in it. But in any case, this is the view of mainly the Hanafi scholars. On the other hand, you have the view of scholars from the Shafi'i madhab and the view of Imam Ahmad and others, scholars from Mecca and Medina for the most part. They say that transplanting an organ, it achieves a great aim and benefit of the Sharia, which is preservation of life. And they also say that taking the organ out, it's a necessity. And the necessities permit what is normally impermissible. This is at stake is life and death. A person would die if he does not receive the organ. So this is something that is of a necessity. And then also they say that the mutilation, it's not completely or not considered mutilation, because the way that it's done is not with the intent of mutilating the body. When they remove an organ, they do it very respectfully. They do it in a place where nobody will see them. They will seal it up and close the body, and it's not really mutilating the body. It's done in a very respectful and careful way. And so they said that this would be allowed, provided that certain conditions are met. And one of the most important conditions is that the organs are not sold for money. They're not sold for money. Unfortunately, a lot of places, in some places, the person sells his own organs. And this is one reason why some of the ulama closed the door to organ donation altogether. Shaykh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, his view is that there shouldn't be any organ donation. And the reason he said that is he said, I'm afraid that the relatives will sell the body of their deceased to make money from it. Somebody passes away and they would think of using that body to make money from it, to sell the different organs. So one of the conditions the scholars put is that the organs cannot be donated for the sake of profit. It has to be purely for helping others. And there is indeed a great benefit. There is saving of life. And, the verse, whoever saved the life of one person, as if he saved the life of all of humanity. So there's a great, great virtue in that. So this other view of many of the other ulama is that it's allowed to donate the organs. In fact, it's a great reward to do that. But number one, it shouldn't be sold for money. Number two, that when they take the organ out, it should be, if they do, there's some organs you can take from a living person. You can take part of the liver, you can take part of the lung, and you can take a kidney, and it will not harm the living person. So they said, if you do take the organ from a living person, it should not detrimentally affect them. It should not cause them to lose one of their functions. So you take out if you take out both their eyes, they say this would not be allowed for a living person, because they need their vision. But if you took one cornea for somebody who needed it, or one kidney, or part of the liver, then they said this would be okay to take the liver or the something that would not negatively harm the person. And of course, it should be hoped that it will bring definite benefit to the one it's being transferred to. So the benefits have to outweigh the harms on the issue. And the issue also came up before is, can we donate organs to a non-Muslim. To a non-Muslim. It's one of the issues that came up. And in the research that I looked at, there's an assembly of scholars. It's called the Organization of Islamic Conference. They have a body of scholars in Mecca that they come from 36 different Muslim countries, and they came up with this ruling. They said that it's allowed for a Muslim to give the organ to a non-Muslim and vice versa. It's allowed for us to give one of our organs to a non-Muslim and vice versa. Then the question is asked, what will happen on the Day of Judgment? If our organs, if somebody gave his organ to a non-Muslim, or he donated some of his organs, what's going to happen to his body on the Day of Judgment? Will he get his organs back? Or will he be resurrected without his organs? And the answer to that, what do you think? Will the person be resurrected without their organs? Allah says, كَمَا بَدَأَكُمْ نُعِيدُهُ. But there's a verse, and whatever the way that we created you, we will return you back. And so on the Yawm al-Qiyamah, we are going to be recreated. And some of the scholars say there's a part at the end of the spinal cord called the Ajab al-Zanab. There's a little particle or a little molecule all the way at the end of the tailbone. Everything else in the human body disintegrates. It's just one tiny molecule. It's like a seed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause us to come back to life from it. So whether the organs were destroyed or burned or whatever happened to the body, that little particle will be the source of recreating the human being. So even if their organs were taken out, Allah will cause them to be recreated again on the Day of Judgment. So there's no harm in giving the organ to a non-Muslim, somebody who is at peace with Muslims, who lives with the Muslims in peace. And vice versa, we can also receive the transplant of an organ from a non-Muslim person, inshallah ta'ala. Any questions about the organ transplant? So this is basically the two views amongst the scholars. There's the view of the Hanafi ulama, mainly from India and Pakistan. The scholars from that area, they say that it shouldn't be done at all. And then you have the view of the Shafi, Madhab, and Ahmad, which is mostly from Egypt and Arabia and those places, that permit it. Sheikh Ibn Baz, who's the Grand Mufti of Saudi, his personal view was that he feared that people would start selling off the organs of their relatives. So he had some hesitation about it. But when all of the ulama gathered together and they studied the issue, and if it's done, you know, with the conditions that are put in place, then the fear of selling the organs should be removed, and it should be prevented. And then most of the ulama of the World Islamic Conference, they said that it's allowed to donate organs. No one knows best. Inshallah. Anybody have any questions on this, on the issue of the organ donation? There's maybe a couple more questions related to medicine. If you'd like, maybe just 5 more minutes we'll go over. Can a person take medicine when they're fasting? Somebody has diabetes. Will taking medicine, like injection of medicine, will this break the fast? Should a person fast? If you're sick, you're not allowed to fast. What if you have a little cut on your finger? Is that no?
That's not sickness. When I say sick, I mean real sick, like diabetes, heart problems,
okay,
kidney problems.
Who doesn't have any sickness, Bob? Everybody has something, right?
You got a little scratcher, you got a headache, I don't call that sickness.
Right, okay. So what is the defining line? Like somebody might claim that his injury is really serious.
If a person has diabetes, you got to take his medication, he's not allowed to fast.
Okay, there's more than one type of diabetes. Some types of diabetes are more serious.
Right.
Basically, the dividing line, the ulama say that if you have three types of illness, One is a type of illness that's very minor, and the fasting will not make it worse. It will not delay the recovery. It won't harm the person more. And it's like a headache or a scratch or something like that. In this case, it's not allowed to break the fast for those types of minor illness. Then you have a major illness, which is if somebody would fast, it would cause harm to their body. They would result in them dying, or, you know, very likely delaying the recovery of their illness. So in this case, then they have to break the fast. You have to break the fast in the case where a person might die. Allah does not want us, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ, do not kill yourselves. You know, so the fasting should not be done if a person is going to be injured by it. And then the third case, which is the middle case, if it's a type of illness that results in hardship if one fasts. But if, you know, a person, they can handle it, but it's going to be very hard on them. It's going to create mashaqqa. You know, it will be very tiring for them. And there was an example in the time of the Prophet, they were traveling to Mecca, and it was a very, very hot day, and many people, the Sahaba, they were asking the Prophet, should we break our fast or not? It's too hot and too difficult for us. So the Prophet took the water and he broke his fast at Asr in Ramadan, because it was a great mashaka on the Sahaba. And so in this case it's better to break the fast, but it's not obligatory. If somebody's going to have mashaka, have hardship, it's better to break the fast, but not obligatory. So if the medicine, if a person needs to take the medicine, then he should do it before fasting. Some people, they're under the impression that you can take medicine while you're fasting. Really, some people, they said that they thought you can eat the pills while you're fasting. Is that correct?
No.
Anything that goes into the stomach, anything that reaches the stomach will break the fast. What about if somebody puts like a scope into the stomach? Does that break the fast? So I guess you had to have some kind of testing on the stomach and put a scope in the stomach. They said it wouldn't break the fast because it comes out again. You know, it goes in and then you take it out again. So that wouldn't break the fast. Injections. Injections could break the fast.
Yes. Like somebody taking insulin, I don't think that's breaking.
Okay, good. This is also one of the modern issues, that it's not really a clear text about it, but most of the ulama, they said that probably the best, the strongest view is that if it's similar to food, like a nutritional type of injection, an IV drip that has water in it, or to rejuvenate the body, then it's like almost like food. It's similar to eating food.
Like an ordinary flu shot.
Flu shot, right. Flu shot is it doesn't provide energy or food to the body. So in that case, it would be okay to take the shots. All right. Any other questions here? Refusing to take medicine. This is all right. We'll close with this, inshallah. Life supports. Another one of the very critical issues is it allowed to, what they call end of life, can you disconnect the life support if somebody is no hope of recovering? Somebody's in the final stages of cancer.
Now that arises another question. Is life support halal or haram?
Life support. Okay, life support. Okay, good question. First of all, medicine in general, it's Allah has created every disease and has created a cure for every disease. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Tadawu, seek the cure through what Allah has made, not only the physical cure, but also through the Quran and through dua." And, you know, we don't rely only on the medicine, but we take the medicine as a means, but then we know that only Allah gives a shifa. The medicine cannot give shifa independently unless Allah puts the Allah decrees for us to be healed. So the taking the life support, or taking the medicine in general, would be recommended, but it's not obligatory to take any medicine unless one is on the point of death. If a person is going to die without that medicine, then let's say somebody's going to die from starvation and they have a piece of bread right in front of them, but they said, I don't want to eat it. Normally speaking, eating bread, is it obligatory? Is it haram? It's no bad, it's optional. But at that moment, you're going to die if you don't eat the bread, what happens to the ruling on the bread? It becomes obligatory. The saving of life, your own life, suicide is haram. So the same thing applies to life support. If the person is going to die for sure, if they remove the life support, then in this case, the life support becomes obligatory. This is the...
If a person is on a dying point,
yes,
to keep him alive, they put him on the life support.
Okay. Now, is he dead? Is he dead or is he dying?
He's going to die.
He's still alive.
They know he's going to die.
Because you have to make a difference. Some people, they take a dead person and they try to keep them alive.
Right, that's what I mean.
And that's different.
They,
you know,
they put the machine to keep them awake.
Right, but we're talking about a person who didn't die yet.
Right.
The doctor, his brain is still malfunctioning, the heart, the, you know, as long as there's...
Yeah, but they doctors, they knew he's going to die. In half an hour,
okay.
15 minutes.
Does anybody know when we're going to die?
The relatives want them to put the machine on him to keep him alive.
Without the machine, he's going to
survive.
Okay, but a couple points here, a couple issues here. One thing is that so many people, they said, are dead. One brother came here to this masjid, actually, a few months ago, and he said, I was unconscious for 30 days, coma. And the doctor said, he's dead. They said that he was dead. His family did not want him to take him off the life support. They still had hope. And he had relatives who went to Arafah. They went on Hajj, and then the Imam went there, and they made dua. The moment they made dua in Arafah, he woke up from his coma. The brother came here, and he was feeling it. If he comes here again, I'll introduce him. He still has some disability, but he now he's walking around. He's alive. So, one thing is, we don't know, we should not put ourselves in a position of an angel of death. You know, Allah, He's the one who decrees of death. And life is sacred, it belongs to Allah. It's not for us to take away somebody's life. And the other issue is that the person who you say he's suffering on the life support, but every moment of hardship is a kafara for sins. That person, the more that he goes through a difficulty, it's purifying his or her sins. So you're taking away the reward from that person for that time of illness. And even some of them say that having a slow death is a type of blessing, because a person can come to Allah purified from all their sins. And then the other point is that people can come and read ruqya on that person, and they get great reward for reading the ruqyas and praying and visiting that person. So generally speaking, if there's hope, any hope whatsoever, that the person might survive, any hope, then the ulama say we should leave it. We should, and it's required to leave it. This is the other side of the issue. If the person's in a terminal illness, where three qualified doctors, they prefer them to be Muslim, but they should have expertise. If they're not Muslim, they should have expertise. Terminal, final stages of cancer, where there's no way to reverse it whatsoever. The person is in the final stages of cancer, their body system has failed, and there's no way that they can recover at all, then the ulama, they say that three doctors declare that this person has no way of ever recovering, then the decision can be made to disconnect it. But it shouldn't be It has to be terminal, final illness. And that has to be according to three doctors. That this person can never recover from that illness. And they can judge death itself. The brain, some of the ones said if the brain stops, if the heart stops. Some of them said both of them have to stop. The brain and the heart. Some of them said just the heart. But, you know, there's a few different views amongst the ulama what defines death. So that's basically the issue there on the life support, inshallah.
Yeah. What's the time of the life support? Like
yes.
Eventually, they are giving you, I forget what a shock means, they're giving you and they're killing your soul.
The morphine we mentioned this last time. Morphine can only be used when there's no other thing that can be used in its place, and it should not hasten the death of a person. You're absolutely right. The Shaykh mentioned that morphine, if it speeds up the death, it's not allowed to use it in that case. No. So who knows if that person might recover? You know, we shouldn't be we shouldn't make the judgment ourselves and hasten it, and we shouldn't think that this person is suffering. Their suffering is a takfir for the zanub.
They should keep them as long as possible on the life support.
Unfortunately, this is the way that people look at it. Their judgment is always in terms of money. They're saying, you know, how much money is this going to cost? That shouldn't be. Our life is more sacred than money. You know, the human life is something sacred. You know, unfortunately, in this society, people judge things by cost. You know, how much is it going to cost? That should not be how we look at things.
Sometimes the doctors, they know that the person is going to die, but they put them on the life support to keep them alive until the relatives get there to make a decision whether to keep them long or take him out.
Or to keep him for the insurance money.
You're talking about putting him on life support?
Example, if a person has a massive heart attack and brain damage, you know he's not going to live anymore. He's
going to die. Is he brain dead yet, or he's already brain dead? If he's brain dead, yeah.
Put him on life support.
If he's brain dead, then he's already dead, right? So there's no more issue involved. The life support is just artificial. It's just keeping the body alive for, you know, but it's, the person's already dead, you know. So you have to look at, is the person dead or not? If he's dead, then you should bury the person. You shouldn't keep them alive artificially. No, but that judgment that the person is dead has to be done by, you know, qualified doctor who says that there's no way that they could recover from it. No.